If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 2 and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. I'm going to do something tonight that if you can get it, and if it clicks in with you, it will help you understand the Bible. It will help you understand a lot of truth that you really need to understand. I'm going to make some statements tonight that are biblical, that are right and true. And I'm going to refute some false doctrine. We got a whole bunch of people preaching false doctrine out tonight. And I'm going to refute it. And if some of you are in it and you're dabbling in it and you're reaching toward it, I hope this clips your wings tonight and gets you in order. Amen. You said, that's pretty straight. I don't know any other way to preach, Danny, but straight. And look what the Bible said in the Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 2. If you're there, say amen. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to your word. So the Bible talks about a dispensation. I want you to turn to Ephesians 2:7. If you're there, say amen. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The Bible not only talks about dispensations, he talks about ages. I personally believe when God's talking about ages and God's talking about dispensations, he's talking about the very same thing. If you're a Bible student, I want you to understand there are seven dispensations in the Word of God. I'm going to make a statement right now, and I want you to hear this, because there are a lot of folks wrong about this. There's a crowd. See, I'm a dispensationalist. The Bible teaches dispensationalism. But I'll tell you what the Bible does not teach: hyper-dispensationalism. Let me explain what I mean by hyper-dispensationalism. A hyper-dispensationalist will say somewhere in the Old Testament you were saved by the law, keeping the law. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, you believe heresy. No one ever got saved by the law. And if you believe that, then everybody in the Old Testament's in hell. And they can't be saved. Oh, I'm going to prove that. That crowd couldn't keep the law. Hey, while Moses was getting the Ten Commandments, they had a calf down there and already broke it. And I'm going to make a statement. Whosoever keepeth the whole law, but offendeth in one point, is guilty of it all. I am going to teach you that salvation has always been before the cross, and right now, during the tribulation period, and also in the millennial, by faith in Christ. I will teach you that. The Word of God teaches that. Anybody that teaches anything else is a heretic. They're false teachers. They're adding to the Scripture. And I'll tell you, let me give you something else. Another word. Not only do I want you to always remember hypodispensations. There's some of them out there. By the way, let me say this. If this goes more than 1 week, will y'all bring your papers back Sunday night? And I'll preach it Sunday night too. I know right now I'm not going to get it all done, all right? Let me say something else about a hyperdispensationalist. You know what a hyperdispensationalist does? Boy, it's a good preacher right here. See, I believe in one commission. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. That's called the Great Commission. Hyperdispensationalists didn't believe that. They believe there's four commissions. They believe in a good commission. Matthew chapter 11, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. They believe in a great commission. go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. They believe in a greater commission after the Holy Spirit come on you. Acts 1:8, ye shall be my witnesses. And they're saying every one of them are Jewish. And that the church doesn't start to Acts chapter number 13. Ladies and gentlemen, the church was in its embryo form in Matthew 16. And he bled and died for his church on the cross. And even breathed on them the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. Wait a minute. Good preaching. Well, I'm going somewhere with this. You need to understand what I'm preaching tonight. See here, the church didn't start in Acts 13. Let me tell you another movement. This is hyper-dispensationalism. Boy, I want to challenge you on this one. Can I move out here without breaking my neck, I hope? Let me challenge you. I want to ask you to tell me the context. In Timothy, all scripture was given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable and will reproof. And what is that one word? Doctrine? Wait a minute. Now, I got to ask you a question. Up until 2 Timothy, what scripture was Paul talking about? Come on, class. Oh, yeah, all in the future tense, but all of it wasn't written. He was writing it as he spoke. Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen. He was talking about the Old Testament. And he was talking about the Gospels. Amen. The epistles hadn't been written yet. They were being written. Yes, it's inclusive in that promise that those are inspired too. All scripture is inspired. But ladies and gentlemen, the hyper-dispensationalist says there's only 13 books of the Bible that you need to read. You don't need the Old Testament. You don't need the Gospels. You don't need the book of Acts. All you need is the 13 epistles of Paul to have church doctrine. I disagree with that. When he said all scripture, you cannot understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. And you can't understand the Old Testament without the New Testament. You said, boy, that's firm preaching. But there's a bunch out there today, and I hope y'all's listening. I'll cut your shingles off right here. That's poison in the well. That's confusing. God is not the author of confusion. Well, amen. Well, let me throw one more word out for you. I know I haven't got anywhere yet, but that's okay, isn't it? If I preach this Sunday night, will y'all come? Well, if you don't, I'll preach it anyway. There's another one. Listen to this one. Not another crazy belief. It's called Reformed theology. Michael, come up here. He's been studying that. Michael, tell us in 1 minute what Reformed theology is.
Reformed theology, they took the Catholic Church's doctrine and they changed it, and it wasn't quite that different. It's still heresy. What they did is they took it and tried to take the covenants of God, and they perverted the promises that God made with Israel and tried to apply it spiritually in the church. So then what we have is a church with no kingdom, with no king, with no earthly reign of Christ. We see a church where the promises that God made in the Old Testament no longer apply. And basically what they make it out to say is that God has a plan B because his original theology didn't work.
They're wrong on the rapture.
Absolutely.
They're wrong on the tribulation period. They're wrong about the millennium. Hey, man, here's what they say. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to booze this group right here real quick. And if anybody y'all's in it, I hope I'm running right over you with all 8 tires. You hear me out. You hear me good. This Reformed theology, I'll tell you the group that's in it. The Calvinistic group. The Contemporary group. The Lordship Salvation group. They're all in that. And you know what they're saying? They ain't no Israel. Israel fulfilled in the church. The promise of Abraham's not going to happen. We don't even know who the Jews are. It's all in the church. And ladies and gentlemen, this doctrine is spreading like wildfire in our liberal institutions. And I could tell you some of them, but I don't want to make you mad because some of you follow them. Sometimes somebody just needs to turn the light on. I'm a conservative. I believe you studied the Bible literally. I do know there's symbolic language, but I want you to know all symbolic language can be interpreted literally, line upon line, and scripture on scripture. You can go through the Word of God and find out what the symbols mean if you study the whole Word of God. And you don't have to spiritualize Israel. And you don't have to spiritualize that they're no millennial. And there's some nutheads on, and I hope you're listening, Stephen Anderson. Haters, they hate Jews, they're anti-Semitic, and they brought this doctrine in to say Israel's done away with, and there's no Israel, and there's no promise, and there's no rapture, and there's no millennial, and there's no nothing. It's just going to all wash out. That's a lie. You see, you're taking a long time to introduce this. Amen on that right there. Stay with me, though. I'm going somewhere. I'm teaching tonight. I know I'm radical but practical. Now, let me give you what the Word of God says. See, I didn't get this doctrine I'm teaching tonight through some man. I've actually studied it in the Word of God and found it to be true. I'll declare unto you at one time, Tyler, dispensationalism was common and preached all over this country, wasn't it? And accepted. But the liberal movement has moved into the colleges. Not all of them. Not all of them. But in some of them. And they have absolutely poisoned the Word of God. Now, I want you, do you have your chart with you? I want to familiarize you with it a little bit. I got this chart for you. Because I want you to have this to study after you go home. And it's apparent that I will not get done tonight. Okay? Is that okay with you? It's apparent. I am going to preach this Sunday night if I don't finish tonight. I want you to notice something about the seven dispensations. Let me name them first. Innocence. Conscience. Government, promise, the law, grace, and the kingdom. And we have a special note, tribulation period, in between the grace and the kingdom age. And we'll teach that as I get down to it. Now let's know something and look at your chart. When we study this dispensation, and for example, I'm studying innocence, there's an opening event. Then we see man's responsibility. Then we'll see man's failure. Then we'll see man's tendency. Then we'll see the closing event that ends each one of them by judgment. And then we'll see what personal salvation was in that dispensation. Are you with me? How many right now understand a little bit what I'm saying, okay? Good. Good. Let's look first tonight. And your Bibles, it'll note here, it's found in Genesis 1:28 through Genesis 3:13. It's called the dispensation of innocence. Now, I want you to notice the condition of man. Man had never sinned. And so Adam and Eve were innocent. Adam and Eve were the only innocent people in the history of the church. Am I right? Or history of the world, excuse me. The only two. Now, I want you to make a note in your Bible. Adam and Eve was not created righteous. Don't ever say they were created righteous, because they were not created righteous. They were created innocent. Adam and Eve didn't know what sin was and never saw sin. That's why they were naked in the garden and saw no shame in it. They were in innocency. Now, I want you to know something. How does this dispensation start? Boy, I'm going to hit this hard. It started with the creation of man. And you have your Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles. Let's just look at this. I want to point out a point or two in this. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 1 and 28 and 27, 28. If you're there, say amen. Let's read it. So God created man in his what? Wait a minute. I hear people say, well, man wasn't created in his image. We were created in the image of Adam. No. Is that what that's saying? God created man in his what? And in the image of God created he what? Male and female created he them. Amen. Let me go back to verse 26. I missed something here. And God said, let who? Make man in our what? After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Wait a minute. Let who? Who? Us. Well, who in the world was God talking about there? Well, I think I know. How many of y'all know? The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the three are one. There's some Bibles that leave that verse out and said that's not in the original. I don't want to upset your apple cart. That's the dumbest statement. If you got in the notes of your Bibles, I ain't saying your Bible's bad. I'm just saying that's wrong. First of all, that guy never seen the original. And you haven't either. Now, we have the Textus Receptus, which has over 6,000 manuscripts, I think, somewhere in that area, 5,700, somewhere in that area, that we get our Bible from. And we don't get ours from the Douay, and we don't get ours from the Alexandrian text. We get ours from the Antioch text. Amen. Amen. I'm good preacher. And by the way, you know why they left that verse out of their Bible? Because they denied Trinitarianism. How many of y'all have ever heard of an apostolic Pentecostal? Raise your hand. False as the devil. They baptize in Jesus only. They don't believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They don't believe that he's one. By the way, if you're a follower of the Church of Christ, they got it wrong too. They believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they're three gods. They're not three gods. They're one God made up in three people. You say, why are you preaching this? Because it's spread all the country. We got false teachers all the country. I'm a Trinitarian. I believe, hey, by the way, when he said, I'll make you in my own image, he's a Trinity and you're a Trinity. You got a mind. You got a heart. And you got a will. And by the way, when you met up with God, you got a new mind that you might know him. A new heart that you might love him. and a new will that you might obey him. And I want you to know you cannot love him with your old mind, and you cannot obey him with your old mind, and you can't follow his will in your old mind. And that's why a lot of people are going down into hell tonight, because they're trying to do it themselves instead of letting God do it. Lord, this may end up to be a big series. This is good stuff. I want y'all to know this. Not because I'm preaching, it's because it's good. It's Bible. So the opening event is God created man. By the way, I don't believe in evolution. And by the way, I'm going to say this. I don't believe in theistic evolution. How many of y'all know what I mean by theistic evolution? Theistic evolution is there was a God behind it all, but he let nature take its course. And that was evolution and everything that went with it. That's a lie. By the way, I believe in the six-day creation, and on the seventh day God rested. I want y'all to know something. I don't believe in the day-age theory. I don't believe in the day-age theory. And I want to tell you people that believe in the gap theory, you got holes all in your doctrine. I'm sorry, I don't believe in the gap. I did want to see a man, but I want to tell you what, I got over that real quick when I started studying the Word of God. That's not truthful. I'm not saying it's a heresy. It's a belief, and some people hold to it. Some ancient guys, hey, you know where it came from? Where it was really made prominent? Larkin and Scofield. You know why Larkin and Scofield got this idea? It's because that's when Darwinism came up, and they tried to find an answer to Darwinism. Listen, gentlemen, you don't have to have gap theory to give an answer to Darwinism. I want to give you something. Somebody, good Lord, I'm bogged down now. Hear me out. I hear people say, well, what are you going to do with all the layers of shale and the coal and the diamonds and all that stuff in it? And that the earth is old. Hey, Mills, you're smarter than I am. Now, Mills, by actual carbon dating, how far can you go back? And most people say 5,000, but I'll take that. But you know, most of the people say actual carbon dating, 5,000 years, and then we start guessing. Right? I mean, Mills, is it a guess to say we're 2,200 million years old? This earth isn't 200 million years old. Now I asked y'all a question, class, and it's just a simple question. It's not deep. Was Adam and Eve made a baby? Was Adam and Eve made a baby? Was he mature? Let me ask you something. If I'm God and I'm not, don't you think God had the ability to make a mature earth for a mature man? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, read Genesis. He said, and he saw the grass and it was green grass. Already mature grass. So the birds, they mature, but I mean, it didn't say anything from them coming from a tadpole. And I want to ask you gap theorists question. This is not saying you're clear out in left field. I know there's some scripture that you use. So you believe there were a pre-Adamic race. That's what you believe, right? Well, you got to. Because, see, Satan came down and he weakened the nations. So you believe there's a pre-Adamic race, and you believe in Genesis 1:1, and between 1:1 and 2, there's a whole bunch of bones and a whole bunch of bodies, and there's a pre-Adamic race. We've got a problem, fat. And by the way, Lois, that's where they say the demons come from. No, a demon is a fallen angel. You said, well, they're all chained. No, they didn't say it was all chained. I'll tell you the ones are chained. The ones that were disobedient during Noah's times were ones chained. But they all are reserved to judgment. Huh? Oh, I'm going somewhere. See, there's a hold a minute. Can I ask y'all a question, you people? What's the name Eve mean? What? Oh. Whoa. Mother of what? All living. Well, if there was something living before Eve, then God's a liar, and that's not true. And check out every gap theorist. And by the way, it is a theory and not a fact. I know there's a book out there that says the gap fact. It's not a fact. And every one of them has to. You got to teach in a pre-Adamic race. You got to believe there's a race before Adam. There had to be another Eve and another Eden. Because see, I got to prove about something. I know that Satan, according to Ezekiel 28, was in the garden of God in perfection. Then you had to believe in two gardens of Eden. I'll tell you when the fall of Satan happened. It happened right in the garden. He was over the garden. He was over Adam and Eve. He was over all that. And he wanted more. And he ascended up on the holy hill to dethrone God. And God cast him down. And one third of his angels. How did I get into all this, Michael? I'm trying to get myself through it. I'm just hey, you say I don't agree with you. That's okay. That's okay. It's okay. If you're a gap theorist, I'm not going to. Yeah, I ain't calling you a heretic. I just think you need to study some more. I really do. And you need to get rid of your gap fact book and get in the Bible and find the real facts. Okay. Opening event, God creates man. Man's responsibility. What was man's responsibility in the garden? He was innocent. How many of y'all know? God said, here's what God said. Every tree in that garden, y'all can eat. Except one. And by the way, when Satan was created, he was created beautiful. Am I right, Tyler? Was he beautiful, Tyler? He was beautiful. He was beautiful. It talks about his pipes. It talks about his beauty. When we see him in the fall, he ain't beautiful anymore. He's a snake with legs crawling up a tree. By the way, did you say legs? Oh, I did say legs, didn't I? A snake with legs crawling up a tree. And by the way, he didn't hang around all them other trees. He hanged around one tree, and that's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he already knowed that Adam and Eve was told not to eat of that tree. And if they wanted to live forever, all they had to do was obey. They did not. How many of y'all know that? What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? Genesis 3, 6, and 7 says they lost their what? What happened to them? They were out in the open, naked, wasn't they? What happened after they sinned, Joe? They went out and hid themselves, afraid of God. And God said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? By the way, I'm going to poke one at the Calvinists right here. See, the Calvinists say you can't respond to God. What happened to Adam when he sinned? He died spiritually. Spiritual death is separation from God. It's not being a corpse. Because when God walked in the garden, he said, "Where art thou?" He said, "Here am I." He heard God and he spoke to God. The 5-point tulips. Believe you can't hear God and you can't speak to God, and you got to be born again before you believe. You got to be quickened before you believe. I want to tell you, I'm going to might as well, since I'm already out on a big limb, I might as well go out and tell you that's heresy. It's a ruination of our day. You know what it says? I might as well just say it. I'm just going to say, "Hey, Gene Floyd, I see you way back there. You're going to hell. You're elected to hell." No offense to Gene, I'm just picking on somebody. By the way, you ain't by yourself, because George is there too. You're elected to hell. And you're elected to hell. You're second worst sinner in this place, so you're elected to hell. Oh, man. But you're elected to heaven. And you're elected to heaven. That's a fair God. And by the way, let's just ask this question. How does he know he's elected? And how do you know you weren't? You know how he knows? Let me show you how false this doctrine is. Only way you'll know, buddy, is if your good works outweigh your bad works, and you persevere to the end, and you finally make it, and you down there at the end, you persevered and you kept the faith, and your lordship had the lordship in Christ and lordship salvation. You got it. I'm glad it's not that way. I'm glad it's whosoever will. I'm glad that Jesus died for everybody. I'm glad that everybody's inclusive. And to teach that is a false doctrine. Good preaching, Reverend. Am I preaching? Do you know I am bogged down, don't you? Wouldn't y'all rather me just teach this concisely instead of rushing? This may end up to be a 7-point sermon. 7 sermons in one.
Amen.
Let me go on. Let's look at your chart. Man's failure, he lost his innocence. Man's tendency, he's away from God. How many believe all we like sheep have went astray? How many believe all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? How many believe man's tendency is down? Man is going down. Man is going to hell without Christ. Now, every one of these dispensations all of them end in judgment. You know what God done? It's judgment, but it's the greatest act of grace in the Bible. You know what God done? He run them out of the garden. And he put cherubims there and said, "You can't come in." Because see, ladies and gentlemen, if they would have ate of the tree of life in that nature, they would have been eternally bound for hell. Are you with me? Now here's what I'm going to start building on, Paul. I'm going to start building this up. I'm going to prove to you everybody in the Bible looked forward toward the cross. And they were saved. Old Testament saints were saved looking forward. We're saved by looking back. Now go with me. I'll show you 2 more things and I'm done. Let's look at their salvation. Turn to Genesis 3:3-3. First of all, Genesis 3:15. How many likes the law of first mention? "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. And thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Who is that enmity? Who's he talking about that's going to come between the seed of woman and seed of Satan? Jesus. He is going to go to the cross. He was going to die for Adam's sin. And the first prophecy about the Messiah is found in Genesis 3:15. Look here, look here, look here. Now I'm going to show you something. Now I'm going to ask your class something. I'll answer in a minute, but I'm going to ask you first. Do you believe Adam and Eve was going to go to heaven? Or are they going to be in hell? Well, Lois, I think I got it. What's that famous song that you sing? It's still the blood. Man, my heart's flipping. Turn to Genesis 3:21. If you're there, say amen. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of what? And what? Hold on. Let me ask you something. Then God killed an animal, right? How many say right? Let me ask you something. Did that animal have anything to do with Adam's sin? Come on. It was innocent. But it took Adam's sin on him. And what else happened to that animal? Not only it didn't have any part of Adam's sin, that animal's blood was shed. What's that song? From the garden all the way to the end. It's what? Still the blood. And then the skins placed around Adam and Eve is a picture of the righteousness of Jesus. By the way, the clothing you got around you right now, when God looks at you, he don't see your sin. You're declared righteous. And he sees his son. And you're justified. And I say it's all because it's still the blood. You go sing it right now. Right now on the piano, get up there and sing it. You said, what was salvation in Adam and Eve? Faith in the blood of Christ. And you'll find that right on through. Stand just before you sing, Lois. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Will you stand? How many right now say, preacher, I know if I die tonight, I'm on my way to heaven. Raise your hand high if you know you're saved. Hold them up there. Thank you. How many right now, I'm not sure you're saved, but you want to be saved. You want to be washed in the blood. You want to go to heaven. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Let's sing it. Let's rejoice a little bit. Sing it. Do you really believe it? How many believe that's it? How many of y'all know that's it?
It's still the blood that cleanses within from the highest star in heaven to the depths of. To the depths of